It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Hey, welcome. Indeed, it is the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and it is Friday, Steve. You made it.
Yes, and I'm happy about it.
I know you are.
No comments about what's coming in 72 hours.
Oh, bah humbug. So, happy Friday. Thrilled to have in studio with me, Rick Turnquest. Rick, it is great to have you here.
Thanks, Kim. It's always nice to be here talking with you on a Friday morning.
You are an author, you're a blogger, you're active on Twitter. We're going to be talking about your piece, The Pillars of Modern Life, which you can find at my website at kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. So be sure and check that out. And so we'll be talking about that in the third and fourth segment. This first segment, we're going to go through, talk a little bit about Building a Better Colorado, which expose what's going on with them as well. As talk about Prop CC and why you should vote no on that. I'm also a no on Prop DD. You can go to my website. My voter's guide is there. And I give the reasoning. In the spirit of the Federalist Papers, I give my reasoning. And you and I pretty well look at that about the same, don't we, Rick?
Yeah, we do. I listened to the show yesterday when you had that guest who was in favor of Prop DD. And kudos to you for, you know, giving the opposition, the opposing point of view, a platform to talk about it. And I thought he made some good points. But, you know, really, any tax that's going to be fair and equitable and the best for raising revenue, especially according to the wealth of states, is a broad-based low-rate tax. And a narrowly focused tax like one on gamblers and casinos is just not the way to go. And if water issues are so important, then the legislature should be allocating part of our $32.5 billion budget to those issues.
And what they're purporting is that there will be $29 million that will be raised for CC, and there's about eight different entities that get money before the water plan gets anything. And $29 million is just a drop in the bucket to a $32.5 billion budget. And so they need to do their job.
$29 million is hardly even a rounding error in the overall budget. And I did a deep dive into the budget this summer. I had that two-inch thick book that I received mm-hmm. from a member of the Joint Budget Committee that was the budget and read through a good part of it. I can't say I read it all, but you know, $200 million there, $400 million there, $1 billion there. You know, there's definitely, you know, things in the budget that could be cut before you get even to anything like healthcare and healthcare policy and financing and stuff like that.
Well, and water should be one of the top issues out there, and so we totally agree with Chad Worthman with the Colorado Farm Bureau. It was great having him, and I think we're going to do more of that. People seem to like that point counterpoint and the civil discourse on that, and that's also what I attempted to do with my voter's guide, which is at kimmunson.com. So anyway, we'll continue on that conversation. Rick, you and I, we look at these things, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. The pieces that you have written that we have on our website are really terrific. If you want information on that, I actually referenced in my voter's guide one of the well-researched pieces that you do. So thank you for the great work. And then you, where can people find you?
Yeah, so my blog is To Advance Freedom, the word T-O, Advance Freedom. .com, and I've got my blog there and a media page which links to past radio appearances and writing I've done for other publications.
Okay, so we'll continue on here, but freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism has to come down to force. If something is a good idea, I don't think that you need to use force for it, and I don't think you have to be deceptive as you're trying to sell it to the people.
That's a great point. And, you know, a great illustration of that is the family bill that they've run in the state legislature the last couple of years and they're going to bring back again this coming year. If it's such a great idea, why not allow it to be voluntary? Let a person opt to have part of their money that they earn taken through taxation, and let businesses opt to offer that as a benefit if that's such a great thing. But they want to use force to take money from every worker in the state to fund this new government program, and that's just not right.
It's not right, and it's never compassionate. no matter what the reason is, to take other people's rights, property, or freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And you and I both do agree that some taxation is necessary, but it's to be limited. And again, it must be broad-based, because if people don't have the skin in the game, if they think somebody else is going to have to pay for it, ultimately there's going to be some policy that's going to come up that somebody's going to figure out a way to make you pay for it. So we need to try to work towards broad-based taxation.
And that, and you know, progressives always want to tax the rich more. For some reason, I don't understand why it's a good thing to penalize the more successful and productive in society. But they're never willing to discuss how much they personally are willing to pay in taxes to fund the government programs that they want, and that's a real problem.
It is a real problem. So we continue to see the socialization through regulations of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, and data, and we need to keep an eye on that. We need to be moving on this policy back to more limited government. So that's why one of the reasons we do this show, and we pack a lot in an hour. You know, there's some people that say, oh, I think you should extend the hours on this. At this point, I think that you know when you tune into this hour that it's going to be jam-packed, and you can certainly learn a lot. It's replayed every day from 10 to 11 in the evening, and then the podcasts are on my website in the show recaps. I always want to say thank you to this fabulous team that we have. Thank you to Steve and Zach and Patty, Keith and Charlie. And it's always great to see you behind the glass, behind the glass, Steve.
Somebody might say it should be behind bars, that the glass isn't enough.
Nah, it works just fine. So really appreciate the team. And thank you to you listeners. You're all valued. You're treasured. And today, strive for excellence. You have a purpose. And take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Check out my website, KimMunson.com. And email me, Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Because I wanted to let you know, Rosemary had sent to me for a couple of quotes for today. You know, I always do a quote and some funnies. And Rosemary sent one from Claude Frederick Bastiat. He was a French economist, writer, and statesman. He did most of his writing during the years just before and immediately following the French Revolution of February of 1848. Bastiat developed the economic concept of opportunity cost and introduced the parable of the broken window. And she said, in a country where no law may be voted and no tax may be levied save with the consent of those whom the law is to govern and upon whom the tax is to fall, the public can be robbed only if it is at first deceived. Our ignorance is the raw material of every extortion that is practiced upon us. And we may be certain beforehand that every sophism is the precursor of an act of plunder. My friends, when you detect a sophism in a petition, get a good grip on your wallet, for you may be sure that this is what the petitioners are aiming at. Very apropos, isn't it?
Very appropriate. And I'm going to actually post that on Facebook later today because, you know, that's a great point. You know, the proponents for Proposition CC are saying it's not a tax increase, and it's not a tax increase in the nominal tax rate, but in the effective tax rate, which is what you're actually paying, it is a tax increase because they're keeping money that you've paid to the government that unrightfully. And it's just like if you go to King Soopers and buy things costing, you know, $15, you hand the cashier a $20 bill and they keep the change.
Well, yeah, and I was thinking about it is, so the cashier would say, do you, under kind of what CC is, the cashier would have to say to you, do you want your change back? Now, and if CC passes, they just won't ever ask you if they can keep the change.
Yep, they'll keep the change and they'll tell you they didn't raise the prices.
And exactly.
Can I throw in a little word picture, something I just witnessed the other day?
Yes.
The King Soopers illustration is awesome, but I was just standing at Starbucks the other day, and the guy in front of me, he paid in cash with, that alone is astounding. But he had like a dollar and a little change coming back to him. She handed it to him, and he immediately pitched it into the tip thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what this is all about. If you want to give that money back to, in this case, you know,
the government,
yeah,
state of Colorado,
fine, do it. But this is not what this is about.
That is not what it's about. It's about they would keep the change, and they never have to ask you if you want your change back. So if you want a reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we have hundreds of millions of reasons, all related to corporate welfare. If the state needs more money, why are tax incentives, credits, and grants given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade through the Enterprise Zone program offered 5 awards as a tax credit rebate in the years 2013 to 17 to Visa, an American multinational financial services corporation with a market cap of $382 billion. Colorado gave them $7.2 million. The grand total for the past 10 working days, all offers accepted by corporations given subsidies by Colorado through just the Enterprise Zone, is $221 million. Note that Visa and other companies we're discussing are successful companies. Our point is that these companies do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe that the free market should stand alone without any government interference. It is better to cut taxes across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies that allows the government to pick winners and losers. Okay, we were just talking about water, Rick. And farmers and ranchers, you know, want something done about water. We need to do something about, and it's not just farmers and ranchers. We need to plan for water. And here, what's happening with DD is that sports betting was ruled legal by the Supreme Court. So Colorado is wringing their hands thinking, how can we get our money on, you know, get our hands around this money? So we want to start a new bureau, a bunch of bureaucrats. We want to pay for them, car allowances, the whole thing, and start that so that we can tax them. But they're like, how can we sell this? Well, we know that people are concerned about water, so we're going to tell them that they're going to get some water, some money towards water. Only $29 million in here. Just within the last 10 days, we've seen that Colorado has given in corporate welfare $220 million to big companies. Just think about your little mom and pop operations out there. They're paying full fare, and they have to abide by all the rules and regulations. And then you've got this going on.
Yeah, it's really unacceptable. And it's not the proper role of government to pick winners and losers in markets. And it's certainly not appropriate for government to give corporate welfare, whether that's in the form of direct cash or in the form of tax credits, which are amounts that companies wouldn't have to pay otherwise. So, you know, if water's so important, yeah, why doesn't some of this money go to the, you know, 20, again, $29 million sounds like a lot of money to you and me, but to the state of Colorado, it's not really that much. And
go to my website and look at my voter's guide. There's 8 different entities that are in front of water. And that we'll take money from this this new bureau.
And the fact is, you know, it doesn't have to, the money raised from this tax on gambling. And by the way, I've had arguments with some of my friends on the right who say I favor government force because I'm against DD. Well, no, actually, I'm fine with legalizing sports gambling. I have no problem with that. It's going on already. People do it. And to allow it to be within a legal business, which is a casino, is fine with me. I have no problem with that. It's the tax aspect of it that I oppose, and I don't want to feed the beast any more than we have to. And taxing casinos, which are offering a legal product on that legal product, is just not right, and it's not moral.
Well, and you know, one other thing, though, is in the bill, and it's 37 pages long, and I just have a rule, if something's longer than the Declaration of Independence, vote no on it. But it gives kind of a monopoly on who gets to do the sports betting, and I'm not sure I really like that either.
Oh, absolutely. There's any business that wants to offer that service should be able to do it. It shouldn't be just casinos. I could open a Rick's sports betting shop and you know, allow people to place bets with me and if it's going to be legal, it should be, any business should be able to offer that product.
Okay, so there's some other reasons why we're no on DD. I do want to give you a couple of things. No Safe Spaces, which is this movie with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla, will have a one-day showing. It's next Friday, November 1st, out at the Highlands Ranch AMC Theater. And it makes the points that there's a difference between liberals and leftists. And many liberals are concerned about the lack of diversity of ideas on college campuses. And Rick, college campuses are among the most dangerous places in America today for free thought, free speech, and free expression. I feel the pendulum is swinging back, and we're starting to see comedians actually make fun of all this political correctness. I've not seen the Dave Chappelle special, but apparently he really kind of let people have it on that. So very excited. No safe spaces. I bought my ticket yesterday. I'm going to be at the 7 p.m. show. And so come and join me. And that is the Denver debut next Friday, November 1st at the Highlands Ranch AMC 24. And it's very important. These movies, these independent movies, if they get early support, then they will have additional showings and screenings. So go to nosafespaces.com and buy your tickets. And it's going to be a great evening. And we've got Tim Leonard on the line. We're going to go to break and then come back to him. But I have to tell the jokes, okay, you guys? Are you ready? Steve, you ready?
We're ready.
Okay. If money really did grow on trees, what would be everyone's favorite season? Fall. What's wrong with Soviet agriculture? Spring, summer, fall, and winter. And National Pride Day should be September 21st. Because September 22nd is the first day of autumn. And as everyone knows, pride goes before a fall. And there you have it. Okay, this is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. We're going to go to break. When we come back, a former state representative here in Colorado, Tim Leonard, has written a very important piece at Complete Colorado. And it is how to rein in the abuse of metro districts in Colorado. And if you were listening to the very open of the show, this legislature is thinking about starting a new special district called an early childhood taxing district. And so we are out of control on this. Representative Leonard has written a very important piece, Complete Colorado. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with him about that.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
Your speech, your beliefs, they're under threat. I know, because they've come for me. I'm Adam Carolla. They've also come for my friend Dennis Prager.
We're living in perilous times. If you dare to think for yourself, let alone say what you believe, the left will come to shut you down.
The protest has turned violent.
There's no free speech for fascists.
I want your job to be taken from you.
But we're fighting back. That's why we made No Safe Spaces, a movie about the dangerous threat to free speech in this country.
Get your tickets today to see No Safe Spaces, starring me and Adam Carolla.
Hollywood doesn't want you to see this movie. It won't be on Netflix or Amazon. You can only watch it at a theater. If you care about the future of America, see No Safe Spaces.
No Safe Spaces is rated PG-13. For ticket information, go to nosafespaces.com. In theaters Friday, November 1st.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we have on the line with us a former state representative, Tim Leonard. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Good morning.
Great to have you here. And Rick Turnquist is in studio with me as well as a guest host.
Yes.
And,
hi, Rick.
Hi, Tim.
And you've written a very important piece that was in Complete Colorado. And just, Complete Colorado does amazing work. They, first of all, aggregate news stories from all over the state so you can very quickly see those headlines and see what's going on. But then they have original content. You have to click on the banner at the very top, and it'll take you to all of that. And, Tim, your piece was about the abuse of these metro districts, these special districts in Colorado. So tell us what your thoughts are on that.
Well, thanks, Kim. And it actually was a piece in Complete Colorado that enlightened me on this issue down in Colorado Springs, something that affected a project I was working on. And so as we got going and diving into it, I got to see a lot of abuse. But I've been in commercial real estate for 35 years, and I've worked with metro districts, and I've been on a metro district board and started a downtown development authority in Castle Rock. So there's a lot of good things that come out of business improvement districts and metro districts, but I've noticed in the past 10 years, Kim, that these have really gotten abused by attorneys and by developers. And I think it's because the city councils and counties that are forming these, because these are quasi-municipal districts, they're forming these without giving a lot of thought to it. They're not doing a lot of financial analysis. They're just taking whatever the developer throws their way, and you know, by human nature, people just can't, you know, hold themselves back for asking for more. And then I started to see a few years ago an abuse of putting one district on top of another, a business improvement district on top of an urban renewal district. And suddenly I got to see money going back and forth. And so I love metro districts. I think it's a perfect way of the free market to pay its own way. If a piece of land is got a lot of grading problems, or it's contaminated, or maybe drainage, or even fancy amenities like a Highlands Ranch, they want to have it fancy. Great. Then you can tax the people in the future who are going to live there, and then use those proceeds to bond in the present so you can plant all your trees or solve your contamination problems. So it's a great way to do it. But I've also noticed that city councils start to say, you know what, we don't have to build these roads. We don't have to put in these traffic signals or these sidewalks or curbs and gutters. We'll just have the developer do it inside of a metro district. And so the developer starts to complain, but then says, you know, if you give me millions to do that, would you give me some more millions to do this? And pretty soon these mill levies get put on the taxpayer, so the homeowner, but especially the businesses, get killed under these. And so my focus has been, Kim, to really focus on the businesses, because I think we're so focused on being able to operate a business and make money that we're not realizing how much of these tax dollars are unfortunately, frivolously in some cases, going into paying bonds that should have never, that should have been retired many years ago.
So Representative Leonard, what can we do about this?
So the solutions are for businesses, and in the piece, I gave an example of I was representing a Burger King that was trying to go into Commerce City, and there was already McDonald's there, and saw that the McDonald's was paying about $56,000 a year just in these district improvement fees, taxes. And that translates when you value a business at, say, a six cap, you know, an investor would, of almost $1 million in value. And so the Burger King said, there's no way I can afford that on the cash flow, or I would do that to my business. So the first thing that businesses need to know, all businesses that go into a metro district, because they're taxed four times greater than a residential property, they have to push back on developers. They have to say, I want to see your service plan. I want to see what the money is going for. I want to see what improvements. And let's retire these bonds. As our tax base starts to increase in our district, then let's start to reduce our mill levy so that we pay off our bonds early. And that's really the number one thing. But the second thing is on the political side. City councils need to start saying, I want to do some analysis here and see if you're really in need of this money and if it should be this and what should it be capped, because these are the future citizens of the city. And they're taking their disposable income and putting it into bond interest instead of buying ice cream cones and coffee and everything else in their district. So they need to be able to look out for them. So, and then finally, of course, like Complete Colorado and you're doing, the press needs to expose it. The press needs to say, these are attorneys, these are developers, these are developments and districts that are pushing the envelope, that 80-20 rule. These are the ones that we should be shaming and really exposing in the sunlight. So that scares everybody else to say, you know what, we better just do it like the old days and say, you know, what we used to call but for money. But for this money, this development wouldn't happen. And that has turned. So those are the solutions that I'm proposing.
Okay, well, this is a very important piece. It is at Complete Colorado. And click on the banner ad there at the top. And then there's a number of great pieces there, but you'll see former State Representative Tim Leonard's piece on how to rein in abuse of metro districts in Colorado. And just a quick question, did you see that this governor and legislature are, I don't know if they passed it for sure or not, but allowing an early childhood taxing district, which is a different kind of a special district. And I'm very concerned about that, Representative Leonard.
And you should be, Kim. It was when I was in the legislature that started, and I had to lobby against it. It's just it's like a water district or school district. It falls in that category, fire districts, library districts. But But suddenly there's something that could easily be abused. And again, if I'm a developer, I can say, well, I'm just going to tax you, use that, and now I can build daycare centers, or I can subsidize them to be able to come in. And it's the same old problem. You quoted Bastiat. It's the same thing. Can we take money from the few, from the many, and give it to the few? And that's all it is. And I think it's a very bad idea. I voted against it, and it died a few years ago. And any of these districts, I actually had legislation in my time where I wanted to trim down these business improvement districts. But many of the left are either very much for taxing everyone, or they're on the flip side of let's do away with all the metro districts and have this knee-jerk reaction of putting moratoriums. And like anything else in life, there needs to be a balance right in between that says, why don't we just do the oversight that we already have in there? We don't need any legislation. We don't need any state involvement. Let's just do exactly what we're supposed to do, but provide the transparency and the accountability that is already built into the law.
And that is what people really, I think, hardworking, everyday Coloradans, that's what they really expect. So Representative Leonard, thank you so much. And again, that piece is at Complete Colorado. Click on the banner ad, and you can find Tim Leonard's piece there. So thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks, Kim.
And we have Jason McBride on the line.
All right, Jason.
It's great to have you on the line, Jason. And Rick Turnquist is in studio.
I heard him. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good. How are you, Jason?
Good, sir.
Okay, well, a couple of things. First of all, you know, we had done that really terrific piece over event over at Water's Edge Winery, and you had these stock trader almanacs that everybody that attended got one, and you've got a few left over, and so you are giving those away. And there's no free lunch, right? No, there is. You're going to give those away, right?
Well, I don't know if you could buy lunch with one, or if you could eat it. It might be a little chewy, but yeah, they're great. Books, Kim. They're kind of like the Farmer's Almanac. They've got a lot of data in there and statistics and interesting occurrences and, you know, a nice quote for every day. So don't let the title fool you when it says Stock Trader's Almanac. This isn't only for people that are sitting in front of their computer screen biting their nails trying to day trade. This is, you know, some good old stock market adages. Some people might call them old wives' tales are in there. They talk about which ones are good and which ones are kind of baloney. But I think it's an interesting book. I buy the new edition every year. If for nothing else, Kim, then to just find good quotes to use for your show.
I love it. I love it. So you've got a few of those that you're giving away. How can people get those?
Hey, easy. One, go to AIR Presidential.com. You can make your request there, or you could do it the old school way, which we like even better, and that's to just give us a call at 303-694-1600. As you like to say, Kim, Natalie will be at the boards at 7:30 a.m., but you can call now and just leave a message requesting it, but I'd rather they called after 7:30 so we get to talk to them personally.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. And before we go to break, we're going to talk with Rick Turnquist about the great piece that he did that's on my website, Pillars of Modern Life. There's some earnings reports coming out that you wanted to highlight.
Well, there's a few that already came out that were kind of fun. Tesla, I know your favorite company, Kim, came out with earnings that were better than expected, that were still far worse than last year's third quarter. That stock shot up about 45 points yesterday, or 17%. Then we had Twitter. Twitter was a real interesting one. A lot of people watch Twitter. I'll tell you, every quarter, it's a roller coaster. One quarter, their earnings come out, the stock jumps up. Next quarter, it comes out, the stock drops. But this quarter, yesterday, their earnings came out, and the stock just got blasted, down about 21% yesterday. I thought it was interesting listening to their excuses, Kim. They said, basically, throughout the quarter, we kept discovering that we were selling the personal data of people that had opted out of letting us sell their personal data, and so we had to keep stop selling it, and that hurt our quarter, and it's going to hurt our next quarter, and it's going to hurt us into next year. I would say the translation of that is, darn, we got caught selling people's data that told us that we couldn't, and we need to figure out a way to do it that they won't be able to catch us so easily, and that's going to cost money and time.
Wow. And data is the new oil, they say. I mean, data is so valuable. So keep us informed on that, Jason. That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I just thought the excuses were almost comical, as a lot of these tech companies just keep getting caught doing whatever they want to with your info. And, you know, we didn't realize that was happening, but we'll fix it.
Yeah, we'll fix a way to so that you won't know that we're doing what we're doing. So
Right.
Okay, well, Jason, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday morning then. And again, that is airpresidential.com, airpresidential.com, if you want to get one of those Stock Trader almanacs.
All right, thanks, Kim. Have a good show, Rick.
Thanks.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, a couple of things. I want to ask you just a little bit about, you know, we're exposing some of the things that are going on with Building a Better Colorado, and you've looked at some of the money. And so we'll talk about that. And then this very important piece that is at my website, The Pillars of Modern Life. This is Kim Munson. Rick Turnquist is in studio. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, thrilled to have in studio with me Rick Turnquist. We will be talking about this really great piece that's at my website, The Pillars of Modern Life. That website is Kim Munson. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. It's always great to have you in studio.
Well, thanks, Kim. It's always fun to be here and to banter back and forth about the topics of the day.
Well, let's banter back and forth just a little bit about Building a Better Colorado. We're exposing what is going on there. And Building a Better Colorado, I first heard about it back in like 2015 when I was on city council. And, you know, Building a Better Colorado, that sounds great. They say nonpartisan, not taking a stand on any issue. We want to have conversations with everybody across Colorado. But as I really saw it, it was kind of manipulating the conversation. It wasn't a real intellectually honest conversation. It was a conversation moving people towards kind of a predetermined outcome, and then they issue this big report that say, oh, this big percentage of people want to get rid of your Tabor tax refunds. Really?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never been to one of their sessions, so I can't speak to that personally. But, you know, I do find it interesting that the Yes on CC campaign, the issue committee that formed to promote Proposition CC, has raised almost $4 million. The number is $3.7 million to be exact. And a good portion of that, 21% of the total funds raised, came from four individuals who are associated with Building Better Colorado. The largest contribution by far was from Daniel Ritchie, who gave $750,000, $750,000 to the Yes on CC campaign. Three others include Stephen Halstead, who's associated with BBCO. What's that name? Thomas Gugone, I guess. I can't pronounce that. And then Reeves Brown gave a total of $50 to the Yes on CC campaign. So,
and Reeves Brown is the project manager for Building a Better Colorado.
So between those four individuals, you know, $800,000 and $800,250 were given to Building a Better Colorado.
To Prop CC.
Yep. Some of the other big contributors are from out of state. You know, $1 million from the North Fund, whatever that is, and the Strategic Victory Fund. Pat Stryker of Fort Collins, a well-known progressive and Gang of Four member, gave $500,000 of her fortune to take away our tax refunds in perpetuity. Several other people. You know, I have a on. If you follow me on Twitter, I've tweeted out a picture of the top contributors to the CC campaign, you know, a few times, and you might just need to scroll through my feed to find it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they've raised almost $4 million, and the No on CC campaign, which is, I don't know if it's part of Independence Institute or not, but they've raised less than $100,000, 50-something thousand to be exact. So
this is a David and Goliath thing. It's beyond, and when we talk about refunds, just to clarify, there's two kinds of refunds. So there's the refund that would be on your tax form. We're not talking about that. That's going to be in the crosshairs at some point, but that's not what we're talking about. This is that there are refunds that are due back to us under Tabor, and they want to keep the change, and they don't even want to ask us if they can.
Right. Under Tabor, based on the formula in Tabor, which is, you know, government's only allowed to grow by inflation and population growth, any excess revenues are to be refunded to us, or they can ask us to keep it, which is only polite. And in the past, I've voted to allow government to keep, you know, whatever for whatever purpose. But, you know, the principle is that if they collect more money than they're allowed to collect, then they need to rebate or refund or give that back to us. And Prop CC would take away those refunds forever. So it's not taking away your refund on your tax form. And anyone who's saying that either doesn't understand taxation or is misrepresenting the facts. But CC does take away the excess revenue component of your tax refund forever. And, you know, this week I had an interesting interchange on Twitter with a lefty think tank, part of the Progressive Infrastructure we talked about several mm-hmm. months ago. And they actually published a piece on their website, which shows that over time, and so when I've been talking about the budget, I've been talking about the total budget, which includes cash funds, which are, you know, fee-based, and federal funds, which come from the federal government. But they ultimately come from taxpayers mm-hmm. across the country. And they said, well, the general fund, and they pointed to, you know, actual general fund data as opposed to what I'm talking about, which is budgets. And there's a difference between budget and actual. So I said, fine, let's look at the general fund. It's grown by 261% over the last 27 years. And even adjusted for inflation, it's grown by 94%. So they published a blog post on their site kind of trying to debunk me, but then they included a graph which shows that adjusted for inflation and population, the general fund has still grown faster than those two factors. And they inadvertently reinforced why Tabor is necessary, because even with Tabor in place, our budget is still growing every year. And I think that's an important distinction for people to understand.
Well, and one other thing, there is so much deception that is going on. If something is a really good idea, you don't need to be deceiving people. You can be honest about it. And so they realize that education is important to Coloradans, transportation is important. So they say that the money, if they get to keep it and never have to ask us again, is going to go to those two items. But there's no guarantee. It probably would this next year, but there's no guarantee in the future that it will.
And that's been their talking point all along, like with Referendum C back in 2005, I think it was. They said, oh, we'll put this money to transportation and education. And that's the, you know, in my research into the budget, over the last 27 years since Tabor was passed, the legislature, and this is both controlled by Democrats and Republicans, have appropriated an average of 6.7% to transportation. So transportation is just not a priority for them. They also, you know, I don't have the number right in front of me, but, you know, a good portion of the budget, 20-some percent, goes to higher education and K-12 education. They always want more money for that. And yet, you know, some people say we're not getting the results we should. You know, test test scores aren't where it should be and where they should be. And
graduation rates.
Yeah, graduation rates. So, you know, I'm not sure that that our investment in our public schools that we're getting the return on it that we might want. And, you know, there's this huge demand out there for charter schools. And, you know, every time I hear of a new charter school announcing that they're going to open, you know, immediately they have, you know, more people signing up than they have capacity for.
Because I think parents really want their kids to have a great education. I think that that is really important. But, you know, I think what we're going to do, Rick, is thank you for your comments and your research on the money. It's important. Follow the money. But let's go to break early, Steve, so that when we come back, we can focus the whole segment on Rick's very important piece, The Pillars of Modern Life, so that we don't have to interrupt you. So we're going to go to break early. This is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We have Rick Turnquist in studio. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Rick Turnquist is in studio. These pieces that you're writing, they're such great information, and it's so much thought is put into it. This is at my website, The Pillars of Modern Life. So take it away, Rick.
Well, thank you, Kim. And this piece was has been kind of forming in my mind over the last several weeks, and you know, kind of, I was looking at the climate strike that they had here in Denver when the 16-year-old kid from Sweden, Greta Thunberg, came over on a sailboat of some sort to talk about climate change and to express her anger over the fact that she feels like she's been deprived of her future. And, you know, I'm not attacking Greta. She's a young child. She should probably, you know, she may be better served by being in school instead of gallivanting around the globe complaining about something she knows nothing about. But, you know, There's a real movement afoot to tear down our modern life. And as I thought about our modern life, you know, and I'm a student of history, but even people who aren't students of history who've watched Game of Thrones, you know, that's how people used to live. They used to live in huts and hovels and wooden constructed buildings and stone castles, and they used wood and animal waste to burn for fuel. They, you know, they were subject to the whims of nature, and they lived lives that were nasty, brutish, and short. And here in the year 2019 in America, we are living at the pinnacle of human civilization on this planet. And nowhere at no time have human beings lived in such comfort, plenty, and ease. And as I thought about this, I really believe that this prosperity and this life that we enjoy in Western civilization, and particularly in America, is due to three things. And those three things are free market capitalism, limited government, and it's all powered by fossil fuels. And the foundation for all of these is reason. And reason is the idea that the universe is knowable, discoverable, and bound by a set of rules which are capable of being discerned by human beings. And in my piece, I take a look at each of these pillars, you know, free market capitalism. And I've studied capitalism at length, and as part of my going through the leadership program in the Rockies a few years ago, we did a real deep dive into the topic of capitalism. We had great speakers like Michael Williams and Yaron Brook come and talk to us about capitalism and why it's the only moral socioeconomic system on the planet. And I actually created my own definition of capitalism, which is a socioeconomic system that is based on the protection of private property rights, free exchange, and capitalism includes freedom for individuals to succeed or fail. And the individual owns the fruits of success and pays the cost of failure. It also includes the idea of creative destruction, where old, inefficient, outmoded products, services, and companies go out of existence in order to make way for new, innovative, and more efficient products, services, and companies. And, this day and age, there's two real competing visions for what's the best socioeconomic system for promoting human life. And those two competing visions are socialism, which is force, which is big government, mm-hmm. which is other people taking your money and your earnings and deciding what to do with it, and free market capitalism. And the United States of the 19th and early 20th centuries was an example of what happens with pretty, it's never been completely unbridled and completely free, but it was a lot freer than it is today. And the growth that we saw during that time period was just phenomenal.
You know, and Rick, you kind of mentioned this earlier in the show, but there was kind of a progressive era, and that was in the early 1900s, and we did several things to the Constitution, but one of them, we put in the income tax, and it was supposed to be, I think, even across the board, it's supposed to be low, but then you get into what's called, quote-unquote, a progressive income tax. So the people that are making more money, they would pay more in taxes. And once again, instead of being fair, I mean, you have the same tax rate, but in effect, if they made more money, they would pay that rate. But so what we're doing is we're taxing creativity and innovation and hard work. And once you start to tax something, sometimes you get less of it.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the many inherent contradictions of progressive ideology is, take the example of tobacco taxes. They will always want to increase tobacco taxes to discourage smoking. So in that case, they understand that when you tax something, you get less of it. And the same is true with income taxes. And you make a great point. And even with a flat income tax, like we have in Colorado, fortunately, people that make more money pay more of the taxes. A friend of mine pointed out the other day that, in a recent year, 71% of Colorado income tax receipts came from people making over $100,000, I think it was. Even with a flat rate, people that earn more money pay more in taxes. But with a progressive rate, like right now, the top federal tax rate is 37%. The federal income tax started at 7% back in 1913. And at one point, the top nominal rate or the top tax rate was, I don't know what it was, but it was pretty high until Ronald Reagan was elected president. But taxation is insidious in that there's never enough. And that's one reason why we're seeing the drive to get rid of Proposition CC so they can keep excess tax revenues.
And why they're wringing their hands and looking at money on Prop DD.
Right, right. So, I also want to point out, a lot of people say there's failures to the capitalist system. And I would contend that those failures are not due to flaws in the system of capitalism, but in government interference in free markets by placing artificial constraints on transactions or artificially tampering with supply and demand. And, you hear this term crony capitalism thrown around a lot. And I say, and I push back on people, who use this term, crony capitalism is not the result of capitalism itself, but of government interference in free markets, lack of free exchange, and through the implementation of force on one or both sides of transactions. And that's why I think the term crony statism is more appropriate mm-hmm. than crony capitalism. And I mentioned creative destruction. Other perceived faults, such as income inequality, aren't faults either. The more productive a person is, the more value they create, the wealthier they will be. And with the absence of force, people are free to achieve as much as they can. And we've all heard the story of the rags to riches, you know, millionaire Jeff Bezos. You know, he's the richest man on the planet now, but he started as a, you know, he's a well-to-do professional. I think he worked for a hedge fund or something like that. But then he conceived the idea of Amazon. He put his own money at risk. He started the thing in his garage, I think. And, you know, his family was helping pack boxes in the early days. And now it's a, you know, behemoth that is, that adds hours to everybody's lives because of the increased value, because of the value of the increased productivity that they give us.
And he's gotten wealthy because he's created something that people value.
And he, yeah, that's exactly right. And he's earned every penny of his, of his fortune. The second pillar is limited government. And I just can't even talk about this enough. And, you know, one of the great things about Vino and Veritas has been really doing the deep dive into the thinking of the founders when they wrote the Constitution and, you know, as they expressed, defended the Constitution through the Federalist Papers. And they created a government where the people are the sovereign. And I love the little anecdote that Krannewitter gave the other night when he talked about aliens landing on Earth and, you know, take us to your leader. Well, I'm the leader. You know, I'm, in theory anyway, in America, the people are sovereign and we give power to the government, not the other way around. And the federal government that was created by the Constitution was small, limited, and constrained to certain functions. And believe it or not, before the income tax, it was largely funded by tariffs, excise taxes, and land sales. But with the, you know, as you mentioned, you know, in 1913, we had two horrible constitutional amendments, which pretty much gave rise to the open the door for the regulatory administrative state we have today, which is the 16th Amendment, which was the personal income tax, and the 17th Amendment, which took the election of United States senators out of the state legislatures and put it into a direct vote of the people, which I think was a huge mistake,
right,
because it gave it took away the power of the state governments in the federal government and basically brought the government closer to the passions of the people, as it were.
And the House of Representatives is elected that way, but mm-hmm. the founders thought it was important. They wanted to make sure that the states had a voice as well, so that we were continuing to distribute that power across different entities. And so I agree with you. That was a big mistake when that happened.
And the Senate was intended to be kind of a damper on the passions of the people. And you know, one of the things that the progressives and people on the left like to say, well, a majority thinks, well, you know what? If a majority wants to have you do for dinner, then that's what they can do. Mm-hmm. If that's the system of government that you want. So, you know, limited government. In my blog, I point out other examples of limited government. Hong Kong comes to mind. I mentioned the book Wealth of States. I, you know, the true hockey stick graph though is world GDP over the last two millennia, where starting about 1807, it's flat from year one to about 1870, and then it just grows exponentially every year after that. And then I talk about fossil fuels, and, you know, with all the climate strikes, and, you know, I just want to point out that all you need to do to think about a life without fossil fuels is to go camping without your car. And you don't get to take a cooler full of food and beer. You don't get to take your propane-powered camping stove or your sleeping bag or your tent, or even your clothes. You have to survive on what you can forage and hunt in your immediate environment, and you'll have to burn wood for fuel and warmth. And how long do you think you'll last? You know, everything that we enjoy in our modern life is powered by fossil fuels. And yes, renewable energy it accounts for about 11% of our total energy sources in the United States. Thinking that we can transform that to 100% within a few decades is naive and unrealistic. And the fact of the matter is, renewable, so-called energy sources have externalities of their own. Wind turbines, you know, there's pictures of worn-out wind turbines that are being buried in landfills in Wyoming, and they chop up, you know, hundreds of thousands of noble, majestic birds every year. Solar panels are made from rare earths that are mined in horrible, you know, wounds on the earth. So, you know, there's costs and externalities associated with so-called renewable energy. But the worst things about it is it just doesn't give you the base load. When the sun's not shining, the wind's not blowing, you don't have any energy. And I thought that's why the lights went out in the studio a few minutes ago.
We all looked at each other on that. We kind of depend on them.
Yeah. So, and, you know, And just look at people in California now. They're living through blackouts, so days long blackouts, because their state utility spent so much money on climate change related things.
Because they were forced to.
Yeah, by the government.
They were forced to.
Yep.
Instead of upgrading these transmission stations, and somebody told me that I should try to source this, that they were PG&E wasn't even allowed to cut the brush around some of these transmission stations.
Right. It's you know, they're in a trap of their own making. And the fact of the matter is, you know, if you really hate fossil fuels and think you can live without them, then turn off your natural gas. And I've got a link on how to do that in the blog post here, and post a video of yourself doing so, especially on a morning like this when it's 30 degrees outside. And it's just going to get colder as the next few months come along. And so at the end of this post, I talk about progressives want to tear it all down. They favor socialism over capitalism. They favor huge government that's involved in every aspect of our lives over limited government. And they hate fossil fuels, which is quite irrational considering that they personally derive benefits every day in the advantages of modern life thanks to fossil fuels.
Well, Rick, this is a really important piece, The Pillars of Modern Life. Go to my website. You've done amazing work on this. It is always great to have you in studio. How about next month?
Yeah, next month. We'll be here.
Okay, sounds great. And our quote for today, Rosemary sent this. And again, it's Bastiat. He said, "The government offers to cure all the ills of mankind. It promises to restore commerce, make agriculture prosperous, expand industry, encourage arts and letters, wipe out poverty, etc. All that is needed is to create some new government agencies and to pay a few bureaucrats." And then she said, Proposition DD. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.